Here's the thing. 18 games. I know it is a rarity. If you go around the media world, everyone just likes to puff off their chip. More football. Give us another week. More football. You heard the discussions. Joe Burrow a few weeks ago was talking about, hey, this is actually really good. It takes football right up, the Super Bowl, right up until, you know, the country has a day off. And all right. That's great. I think they could have done that without 18 games. It's lost on me why you could just mess with the calendar.
I did like what he said.
Doesn't have anything to do with 18 games.
I did like what he said about having a bye week in the middle of the season, a league-wide bye week, and do the Pro Bowl stuff then, where you treat it like an NBA All-Star weekend. I did like that aspect of it. I don't love the 18 games. What I'm most curious about, what you brought up, is the load management stuff. What do you think that looks like? Do you just have random guys sitting out random weeks? Because part of the reason why load management happened in the NBA the way that it has is because they're playing so many games and they're playing them so closely together. Like, do you see maybe some guys are sitting out a Thursday night game after a Sunday game?
Not only that,
or is it just going to be like, pick a random Sunday, Patrick Mahomes is not playing, he's getting load management?
I think the NFL is obviously looking to continue its expansion, be it in Europe, Mexico, I mean, all over the place. So I think that you're going to be talking about more and more travel. And so I wonder, these teams and their very smart analytics people will look at the data and try to figure out which games make the most sense to rest certain players as they get into their upper 20s, into their 30s, depending on their mileage. I think that's all part of it. And I think you've already started to see load management. I mean, they're not calling it that. But I don't know.
Where are you seeing it? Where are you seeing it? No, I don't, because
and I'm talking about it from a player standpoint.
We've always seen, like, quarterbacks at the end of the season, if things are locked up, like that last game, I don't consider that load management. We've seen guys for the longest time not play in the final regular season game if there's nothing to play for. I don't consider that. But what I consider load management is when someone is healthy and sitting out. Like, if Amari Cooper is fine, if he's just got bumps and bruises, no serious injury, but they sit him out week three just because. Like, that to me is load management. Or even, there's nothing wrong, they just want to get him some rest. Like, that is load management to me. I've not noticed that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's a blind spot for me with football. But I've not noticed that here.
Well, Dan Patrick talked about this yesterday after the news came out that they're already in conversation, the players' union and the league, about the potential for 18 games.
I think you're going to have load management. I think the NFL will get to load management, as strange as that may sound. Now, we already have that a little bit, because you get to week 17 or 18, you can rest some of your players if you've already secured your home field advantage or you're going to win your division, whatever it's going to be. But that is a mere formality. But now they're making it semi-official publicly that the NFL and NFL Players Association have discussed this at a very, very, very high level.
Odyssey, or audio courtesy of Dan Patrick. So, Danny, what I'm talking about, you know, he mentions there, and you mentioned towards the end of the season. Like, all right, we've always said that.
Like, the Browns missed out on a playoff spot because the Colts did that.
I'm talking about, you got Myles Garrett. How long do you think Myles Garrett's career is going to be in the NFL if things go well? What kind of career? We've seen some pass rushers go, Von Miller. We've seen some pass rushers go
14, 15 years.
Joe Thomas, he ends up with all the injuries. He was an Iron Man. But how many years did he end up going? Was it 10?
10, I believe.
Okay, so somewhere in between there. They're not all going to be Tom Brady, right? They're going to be somewhere in between your best players. Well, you go from 16 games to 18 games. You're adding two games a year. So over the course of 8 years, that's another full season. We know that the average career is something like, you know, 3 to 4 years in the NFL. So you think about the toll that it's going to take, the wear and tear, how long these games are, how many plays. And again, the analytics people do the numbers on all of this. You don't think that the very savvy teams are going to say, wait a second, we've got this guy under contract for this long, but to optimize his tenure here in this city, here's a specific amount of plays that we need to get the most out of that player, to make sure we're getting the best of that player. And then they figure that out over the course of a game, over the course of a year, and over the course of a contract that, hey, you know what? His hammy is a little bit tweaked. We should probably keep him out of the next game.
I think that teams will be more cautious bringing guys back from injury. I think that is a fair thing to assume, but I don't think we're going to see teams just sit healthy players, because even though wins become a little bit devalued as you get up to 18 games in the regular season, wins are just a little bit more devalued now, but they're still too valuable to punt on a game. When you're still in the thick of a season, I'm not talking at the end of the year, but
you said punt on a game. I mean, Vegas, I say this all the time when we're like, hey, who's not going to play this week? And we'll say, Denzel Ward's not going to play this week. It doesn't move the point spread. So you're saying punt on a game. I don't look at it that way.
You can hold out
guys strategically. You're not punting on a game.
No, I think if you're holding out your best players when they're healthy, you are sending a message to your team that this game doesn't matter as much. Denzel Ward being out because he's injured and can't play is different than Denzel Ward being out when he's healthy. Because you look at the NBA with the load management stuff, they can do that because if every team, for the most part, is going to lose 20 games, you're going to have, sure, some years a team's going to win 64 games like the Celtics just did. But for the most part, you are going to have every team that's going to lose at least 20 games. So you can punt on games. In the NFL, with 18-game schedules, you might need to win 13 of them to win your division. You might need to go 13-5. You cannot afford to take a week off and punt on a game and sit out your best players when they're healthy. If they're not healthy and you want to be more cautious about bringing them back, I think that's totally fine. I think that's what we're going to see.
We're talking about from a team perspective. What about a player perspective? Like, I look at someone like Jadeveon Clowney, who's already been doing this. Now, last year, he played all 17. But before that, never. He was always somebody that if it was a game-time decision, he was sitting it out. Will there be more of that? Will there be more players that'll be looking at that? Because the NFL does have incentive-based contracts. I get that, but not everybody. Not for the superstars in this league. Most of them, I mean, they have some incentives, but you know, they're okay with missing a game here or there.
I think maybe at the top, when you do talk about superstars, but I don't see how this is going to be a thing ever for middle of the roster guys, because there's not enough. The careers aren't long enough. They don't make enough money. Like, the middle class in the NFL is not all that big. And that, so I don't think that you're going to see that with those guys. You can never see that with those guys because their careers don't last long enough for them to say, you know what, if I sit out this game, maybe I extend my career by a year, but there's no guarantee that a team's going to want a player of that skill level for that additional year when they're 30.
All right, so earlier in the show, we had the news about Amari Cooper and getting the contract beef taken care of, no holdout. So we know what's going to be critical is getting everybody down to the Greenbrier and start to work on overhauling that offense. Ken Dorsey coming in as the new offensive coordinator. We know he does things very differently from Van Pelt and the Stefanski offense that we had seen before, at least on paper. Dan Orlovsky was on yesterday, Afternoon Drive. It was a great interview. I urge everybody, go on the Odyssey app, listen to the whole thing, but listen to Dan Orlovsky talk about how things could be changing, and is he okay with that with Ken Dorsey?
Kevin Stefanski's offense has that Gary Kubiak tree foundation, and they got away from that a little bit to the start of last year with Deshaun. It was less play action, it was less effective, and a little bit more spread out, and that's what Deshaun has always been comfortable with. And then, obviously, the injury and Joe comes back, and it's more. So I don't know who's going to win that conversation because that's not Ken Dorsey's background. You know, one of my complaints last year with Ken in Buffalo, who I think is a really good football coach, was they didn't do enough of that. And when they did it, Josh was so good. And it was way too predictable schematically. There was way less and way too little pre-snap motion. And there was an element of you weren't ever gaining an advantage to the defense. And so hopefully he's learned from that and steps into a little bit more of doing things the way that they've done it in Cleveland under Kevin for a little bit of time now. But I still hope that this remains Kevin Stefanski's play action pass run centric offense.
All right, that was Dan Orlovsky. That was very in-depth, as comprehensive as you'll hear about maybe the differences in the offenses. When you hear that, Danny Cunningham, does that make you a little nervous?
Oh,
That they're going in that direction?
It does a little bit, because I don't think there's been an issue with what Kevin Stefanski's done offensively. I don't think things have been broken. I think what he has gotten, I mean, he's gotten the best out of every quarterback other than Deshaun Watson here. And the pushback is, well, that's the guy you're playing $200 plus million. You need to get the most out of him. So I get that aspect of it. But I think Stefanski's done a really, really good job. What I worry about is getting the most out of Deshaun Watson. Maybe Ken Dorsey can do that. I've got my doubts about it. I think we're starting to hear more and more rumors that Ken Dorsey's going to be the one to call plays, and that worries me, because I don't think that I never came away super impressed from what they did offensively in Buffalo. I thought Josh Allen incredibly impressive, but I thought a lot of what Josh Allen did was because he's Josh Allen, not because of the positions he was put in by Buffalo. Where I think a lot of what the Browns have done offensively since Kevin Stefanski has been here, I think a lot of the good things they've done is because they've been put in a position to be successful, not because they've been overly talented. Like Baker Mayfield that first year, do I think Baker's some great quarterback? No. I think Kevin Stefanski put him in position to be successful. I think Jacoby Brissett was put in position to be successful. Joe Flacco, same. You can go on and on and on. And I worry that if Kevin Stefanski is not the one that's truly in charge of this offense anymore, if he's not the one that's calling plays anymore, I worry about putting those guys in position to be successful, because I don't trust Ken Dorsey to do that all the way.
Well, it's interesting. The Bills offense really took off and became a lot more versatile afterwards. The story of James Cook, their second half of the year, when they won their last five games to get into the playoffs, how he became a dual threat player, and he was just sitting there the whole time.
Right.
And that was not part of the offense. So, you know, you hope, obviously, that Ken Dorsey has learned from that. But the other part of what Orlovsky was talking about, which I thought was really interesting, he noticed what I think a lot of fans here noticed, which was the Browns offense, in a way, took off with Joe Flacco. Now, I get they weren't playing the same caliber of defenses, so I think that is important. But Joe Flacco, all of a sudden, the explosive plays, the vertical plays were there, mm-hmm. and the play-action game was night and day from what it was with Deshaun Watson the previous 12 games, six games this year, you know, last year, six games the year before. It was night and day. And Orlovsky is talking in that clip about play action, and it's not really a part of Deshaun Watson's game, but it is a part of what Stefanski's game was. And what does that look like? As Orlovsky said, and he lamented, he was not a big fan of the way that they ran plays under Ken Dorsey, who is coming here. So, look, a lot of people are really excited about this offense getting overhauled and having it look the way that it may have looked early in Deshaun Watson's career, what it may have looked when he was at Clemson. Will there be a marrying of that? Will you see an approach that marries Stefanski and Ken Dorsey, or will this look totally different next year? And right now, I don't know. I can only go by what they've talked about, Danny, but I, at this point, today, as they're getting ready to go down to Greenbrier, I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know either. And there are a couple of guys that I think of in specific when you bring that up. Mari Cooper's one of them. The other one's David Njoku, who I thought played the best football of his career once Joe Flacco was in the starting lineup as a quarterback. How are they going to get the most out of those guys? Because it's very clear, and we haven't seen Jerry Jeudy in a Browns uniform, so it's hard to talk about him here, but it's very clear there's a lot of talent. I don't trust Ken Dorsey to get the most out of it. I do trust Kevin Stefanski to get the most out of it. So I think it's who is actually in charge here is what I care about.
All right, 25 minutes from now, we will go around the AFC North and hear updates from Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Cincinnati. But when we come back, it's FML, and I need a contingency plan ASAP, as we have Picture Day coming up here at The Fan.